Okay, people are still awake a little bit. You know you're in Berkeley when Red Finance doesn't put people to sleep, right, Phil? You know, it's pretty good. Let me just pull up a few things. Great. So I got tasked last because I think the idea was that I would kind of cheer people up. But I think that actually we've done pretty well for a panel of policy wonks on climate to keep things kind of moving tonight. Give everybody a round of applause. Moving forward and getting into it, how many people are feeling kind of a little bit more encouraged about the state of the world and climate negotiations after the talk so far? All right, how many people are maybe feeling a little bit more discouraged about what's out there? How many people are kind of in between, maybe, too? All right, so I've got my work cut out for me for the final kind of cleanup hitter here, but I think we'll do okay. It was MLK Day on Monday, and I think that a lot of us probably celebrated and had a chance to kind of reflect on the words of Dr. King and the movements that this country has seen and the movements that the world has seen. At 350.org, we really focus on movement building and do it with groups all around the world. So for the next kind of 10 minutes or so, I'm actually going to start a timer so I don't run over because I'm going to get excited. I want to talk a little bit about what we see happening around the world and why there is cause for hope and why there is cause to be encouraged. If anything, there's cause to be pissed off and start really getting to work on organizing and pushing back on a lot of what's out there. So I'm going to try and share 4 quotes, 2 videos, and one key point in the next 10 minutes. I spend most of my time behind a laptop, so this is always a little bit challenging. First quote, and these are all from Dr. King. He said that faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's a lot of what we've been doing at 350. I was one of the co-founders there, and John Warnow and some others are in the room as well. We were college students back in 2006 when a writer named Bill McKibben kind of came to us with this crazy idea of hosting a march across Vermont to draw attention to global warming. And we started from the Robert Frost cabin up in the mountains of Vermont and marched for 5 days to Burlington, and by the time we rolled in, there were over 2,000 people marching with us, which in 2006 was one of the largest demonstrations that the country had seen on climate change. Out of that, our group of about 8 people started thinking, hey, if this can happen in Burlington, yeah, it's Vermont, but I bet it could at least happen in Berkeley. Yeah. So we took about 10 weeks to organize a national day of action in 2007 called Step It Up. In 10 weeks, there were over 1,400 events in all 50 states on April 14th. It was a tremendous outpouring, and not because of any talent of ours, but because there was just such an energy at that time to really do more than screw in a light bulb, to start trying to screw in some new politicians at the same time. That appetite and that momentum, I think, has only grown. Out of Step It Up, we kind of took some time and founded 350.org to see if we could take this movement global and started meeting people all around the world who shared that same sense of appetite and energy and a desire for change. Every country we went to, people were already organizing on the ground. And to be able to kind of see that there was a network out there emerging from the bottom up was incredibly inspiring. We would do something like Google, Cambodia, environmental groups, and then just start emailing people. And all before you knew it, there were networks popping up and people were sharing what they were doing. It was right there, kind of waiting to be seen. And I think it's only growing. That 350.org took about 18 months. We gave ourselves a little bit more time. And had a day of action on October 24th, 2009, which many people in the room helped make possible. It blew us away. There were over 5,200 events in 182 countries. CNN called it the world's most widespread day of political action in the planet's history. And again, just because of that appetite, because of that desire for people to be part of a movement and to really connect around something that could give them a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement. The events were incredible, not just because they were global and exciting, but because of the range and diversity of what happened. Our largest event was in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, when 15,000 school children marched in the streets. Not your average spot for climate activism, you may think, but our largest event. They showed us up here in Berkeley in the Bay Area. Our smallest event was one young woman who walked out in the middle of Babylon, Iraq, unfurled a banner that said 350 on it because she had written us and said, I want to be a part of this. And she couldn't convince one or two of her friends to join her, but she still went out there by herself and posted that photo up on Facebook, and was on Facebook, and comments were flooding in by the tens and dozens, people saying, this is amazing, I'm in tears, I never thought that this was possible in my country, I'm American, I never thought this was possible in Iraq. Those stories kept flowing in, and that movement kind of has kept growing over the last year. This year, if we expanded the movement and tried to see it in 2009, this year we really tried to deepen it. After Copenhagen, knowing that we needed to get back to work in our communities as we're growing a global movement. And in October, many of you, I think, take part, many of you helped organize the day we had the 10-10-10 Global Work Party. The idea being that all around the world we could get to work on local climate solutions and send a message to our leaders who were preparing to go to Cancun that we expected them to do their job as well. If we could get up on the roof of our school building and put in a solar panel, then we surely expected them to get up on the floor of the UN or the floor of the Senate and actually maybe do their job for a day or two and start writing some legislation. So first video number one, I want to show you a couple images and a bit of a video from that day of what happened around the world to kind of give you a sense of the movement that you're all a part of and what's out there. All right, give yourself, I mean, that was all you guys too. Quote number two. We may have all come on different ships, but we're part of the same boat now. As I think we see from these movements and from what Ananda shared, what everybody shared, people are beginning to kind of realize that we are on the same boat and need to start making room for each other and figuring out how we can start bailing out water and trying to get across the river that we're facing ahead. 10-10-10 showed us that there was a movement out there, that it was taking action. I think the challenge ahead of us now is to try and make this movement count. How do we take all the energy that's kind of bubbling up, all of the initiatives that we know about, all the groups here in this room and around the world who are having these same discussions, and begin to really make an impact on the discussions that are happening in forums like the UN, in Congress, and moving forward? I think that Ananda and others started shared some of those ideas, and we're looking forward to hearing from more of you later on. One of the ways that I think we can make it count, and here's kind of the point that I want to share with all of you tonight before kind of opening it up for others' ideas, is that I think we can start to get a lot more creative with the work that we're doing and start really thinking about activism and policy in a way that allows us to take a bit more of an artistic approach, if you will, to what's going on. And that kind of leads me to my third quote, which was from Dr. King as well, which said, let us be those creative dissenters who will call on our beloved nation to a higher destiny, to new plateau of compassion, to a more noble expression of humaneness. Creativity, what does that mean? How do we begin to apply that to the movement that we're building and to the policies that we're putting forward and to something as technical and kind of non-creative and non-artistic as the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change? Part of it, I think, is beginning to get artists involved and beginning to see ourselves as artists as well. It's amazing when you look at the images coming in from 350 days and from all the work that's happening out there. I think people see them as kind of just documenting what's happening, but when you look through all the pictures, it kind of creates this amazing tapestry of the movement that's happening around the world and begins to allow us to see that all around the world people are taking action. But even more concretely, we actually can get artists involved in doing this movement building work. And so my second video is from a project that we at 350 led this year in the lead up to Cancun, trying to think about what's a different way that we can begin to be engaging in this process. Of course, we were there pushing policy as well, but what's a way that we can begin to have an impact that shakes things up a little bit? So this is a project which was called 350 Earth or 350 E-Arth or however you want to pronounce it, trying to kind of put the art back in the movement a little bit, and again, working with some incredible folks all around the world. So I'm going to show this clip next. Let's see if it works. I would argue that cute kids may be our greatest weapon against polluters. That's just one example of what's happening all around the world and why there's some cause for encouragement. I think as we move forward over the next year, we can look back on 2010 and look back on 2009 and see that we finally kind of stripped bare what the opposition is to progress. We saw that we didn't come close in Congress. Big polluters didn't even have to really lift their pinky finger to fight back. But I think that if anything, that's taught us a lesson that we do need to be looking, as Ananda was saying, to frontline communities, to the places where people are finding creative ways to stop dirty energy on the ground and start implementing solutions. And we can be looking to our artists and our musicians and our poets to start really figuring out how can we start building a movement that reaches people's hearts as well as their minds. And so in conclusion, our final and fourth quote before I wrap up, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. It comes only through the tireless efforts and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. There is no time for apathy nor complacency. This is the time for vigorous and positive action. So as we go forward with 350, we're excited to continue to be a platform as much as we can for all the work that all of you and all of your allies around the world are doing. And again, to keep it positive, but also be vigorous, to also be vigilant, to also try and figure out how we can really take this movement, which is bubbling up all around the world, and begin to make it count, and begin to inject it into processes like Cancun, like the UN framework going forward. We have a lot of work to do, but there's incredible people on our side, and I think that we might just be getting started. So thanks so much.